people, welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with guitarist Matt Pucci from the band Rain Parade. In our conversation, Matt tells us about his Gretsch Tennessean that he's used for over 40 years. Matt tells us about moving from upstate New York to Chicago and going to school in Minnesota and living in Oakland for the past 40 years, being a fan of the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas A's. Matt talks about his side career as a forensic DNA analyst and the small connection that led to his music world. Matt tells us about getting signed by Enigma Records in the 80s and his band Rain Parade's successes. Matt discusses his musical upbringing, having older brothers that would take him to shows in Chicago, and his love of the Birds. Matt takes us through how he ended up in LA, becoming friends with what would become members of the Bangles and Green on Red, and the rest of the Paisley scene that Rain Parade was a part of. Matt describes the band's adventures in the SF Bay Area and how the band ended up based there since its reformation. Matt tells us about his encounters with Country Joe and Neil Young's band Crazy Horse. Matt discusses his gear apart from his Gretsch that he's used throughout the years and the one that got away. And Matt tells us where he gets his gear repaired, and Matt discusses what the band is up to, recordings for Record Store Day, and shows in the future. To find out more about Matt, you can go to his website, rainparadeofficial.com. That's RAINPARADEOFFICIAL.com, or the band's Bandcamp, rainparade.bandcamp.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my friend Matt. Hey there, Matt.
How you doing?
Good. You're out in space.
I am. It's a metaphor. And how are you doing, James? I hope you like my... my moniker on my Zoom there. I don't know if you can see it on the bottom left by my picture.
I can't quite make it out. Oh, Jimi Hendrix. Very good.
Seems appropriate. Wow, you're in an interesting room, I see.
Oh, it's, you know, the woodshed. This is the woodshed.
And I know you have a Gretsch on the wall there.
I do. Are you still playing that Gretsch?
I have. That is the same guitar that I have played since 1980. One. I take that back. So I got to LA in 81, and shortly thereafter I walked into West LA Music.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I need a guitar, and the guy's like, hey man, here. And he said, like, these pink Jacksons.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the what do you call it, it's the whammy bar lock where you can bring it down to
the slack. Floyd Rose. Yes,
Floyd Rose, right? And I'm like, nah, I don't think so. And I go, hey, what about that? He goes, ah, you can have that for $200. I'm like, done. So then about a year after that, it didn't play quite as well as I needed to, so I traded that in plus another $200 for better. They were both 63 Tennesseans, and So since 1982, I've had the same one. I played on every single thing I've ever done.
Oh, wow.
There's a couple songs maybe over the years that I didn't use it, but not too many.
Yeah.
So that's my baby.
And were you a big Chet Atkins fan?
Sure.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, I can't play like him, but I like him.
Well, few can.
That's exactly right.
Did you grow up in Minnesota?
No. I went to school there, the college, first time. Maybe about a year or two of actual colleging, and then once got bit by the punk bug, then I mean, I was there, but
yeah.
Anyway, I was born on the East Coast in upstate New York, lived in New England for a bit. My parents moved to Chicago in 71.
Okay, wow.
Went to high school in Chicago and then moved up to Minneapolis area for a school, lived there from 75 till about 81, and then I moved to LA, and then in 86 I moved up here, and I've been here ever since. So I
where's here
every, oh I'm in Oakland.
You're in Oakland.
Yeah.
You're right across the well, you're not even across the bay.
Where you at?
I'm in Napa.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I love Napa.
Yeah, well, cool. I love Oakland, so there you go.
Yeah, people think you need an Uzi to live here, and there are some shameful things. You know, there's some of it's really filthy, and I don't understand it. But
yeah.
But it's also, they also think, you know, they don't know there's a freaking redwood forest like a mile from, well, 2 miles
exactly.
from the house. And it's in the city of Oakland.
And a huge amount of history.
Tons.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're gone.
Yes, exactly.
I was at the gym. I don't really wear this that often because I haven't watched any baseball this year. I'm so pissed. But I've probably been to the Coliseum, I don't know, 300 times.
Yeah.
It's fucked, dude. I mean, it's not, we're not talking about like the Diamondbacks. It's the Oakland fucking A's, man. Anyway.
Well, how long have you lived in Oakland?
Since 85.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I moved to LA in 81, started Rain Parade, and did that. And then I met somebody there who moved, she went to Berkeley for school, and I followed her up here and married her. And it's our 40th anniversary in a few
Congratulations.
Months.
Congratulations.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
We got a kid and raised a family up here, had a non-musical career, but always did music.
Yeah.
Always played McGretch.
Sure. What was your non-musical career?
I was a forensic DNA analyst.
Oh, my God.
I worked for the state of California. Yep, worked on OJ, the Golden State Killer.
Wow.
The Grim Sleeper. Especially the last 15 or 20 years, only rapes and murders and, like, really serious crimes.
Damn.
Well, I won't bore you, but the way it works is...
That's not boring.
Well, so if there's a crime... And they pick up evidence, and you see the guy, and you get the guy's DNA, and you match it, you're done. If you don't see the guy, then you can search a database, right, to see if he's in there. And it's a huge one in California.
Yeah.
Well, and then if you get that guy, then you got him that way. Got him. You have identified the source of the DNA. We're very careful about that. We don't do guilty.
Yeah.
We just, right? I mean, I've testified a bunch of times.
And, yeah.
Well, is he guilty? I'm like, fuck if I know, dude. All I can tell you is that this is this, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then if you don't find somebody in the database, you can do, you've heard of this genetic genealogy stuff?
Sure.
Well, it's the same thing. And that's what I did the last 15 or 20 years is just in cases where there were no, they didn't have a suspect in the database and we looked for family members, and we solved a bunch of really nasty crimes that way. Did all sorts of weird shit, dug some people up. You know, it was, you know what? This is kind of cool. We found the guy who killed Bill Medley's wife.
Oh, my God.
Bill Medley?
Yeah.
You know who Bill Medley is, right?
Of course, of Righteous Brothers.
Right. It was his ex-wife.
Okay.
But he was very close to her, and she had... you know, he still was very close, and they had a kid together. And he hired a private detective, and like for 20 years tried to find him. But finally, it was called the Familial Search Program, which I ran. That was the last thing I did, and we were able to find. I think it was this shit. I don't remember all the details because once I retired, man, I forgot it all.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we found his son in the database.
Okay.
And then that was something. Was that the guy we dug up? Maybe it was. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we dug him up, but he was dead already.
Yeah.
He'd been killed in one of them got killed in a motorcycle accident, and the other one the cop shot. I can't remember which one it was, but nonetheless, we figured out who it was. And I never met him, but I saw the press conference, and he was all choked up. That was cool.
Yeah.
So there's my musical and DNA careers intersecting.
Yeah. Did you have? Do you have people? While you're working, did you have people like contacting you saying, hey, you got to check this out for my family member?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Well, the way it worked is California had one of those programs, and it was very formalized. You had to get the DA and the investigators both had to like sign a memorandum. An MOU that they were going to take care of, you know, that they were going to follow through. And so we would vote on it. But yeah, and there was me and a lawyer and, kind of like the FBI, the California version of the FBI.
Yeah.
We're all on the same committee. And then if it was like, okay, we'll take this case. And then we did. So it's all like 30 of them. So over 15 years.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's what I did then, but I've been retired for 4 years. And the weird thing about the music is, like, literally within a couple of months after I retired, I ran into the guy. Do you remember Enigma Records?
Of course.
Well, his name is Bill Hine. Him and his brother had Enigma Records, and they signed me back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed Rain Parade back in the day. And he, I went out to lunch with him. He goes, "Hey, man, I'm starting a label.
Wow.
And you want to sign Rain Parade?" I'm like, "Really? You mean we're going to do this again?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, dude."
Right on.
So that's what we've been doing, and put out all our old stuff, put out some new stuff. So, yeah, I'm a musician again.
Excellent. Cool. Do you still own those records, the early records?
Well, I mean, yeah, we co-own them now with this label that we're on.
Yeah.
Because we have put out in the last 2 years on Record Store Day, we put out deluxe versions of of those old records.
Yeah,
instead of just one, there's an extra, you know. The thing I like about these guys, it's Label 51, is they really want to, you know, do nice packages.
I mean, sure.
They're a record label, which by definition means you're out of your fucking mind, and, you know, and there's fucked up things about it. But one of the things they do have is money, and they also, they really want to put out something nice. So that's been cool. So
yeah.
One more old Rain Parade thing to put out, and then we're also putting out new stuff too. So
right on.
That's what I've been up to. Yeah, cool.
What was Chicago like as a teenager?
I only went, it was like 4 years.
Yeah.
I was in the far south suburbs, but I did go to a lot of cool shows. My parents were really strict, but I don't know why, but they let I had older brothers and they would take me to shows.
Okay.
And they took me to, like, I went, my first show, I went to see Alice Cooper and Luther Nash. That was my first show. That was cool. I went to see the Birds.
Oh, wow.
With Commander Cody, and that was literally life-changing, because there was a guy next to us who had some little green pills. And I was like, one of the first times I tripped at age 14. But seeing the Birds on acid, man, that'll and this was the Clarence White Birds.
Yeah, Clarence White and Gene Parsons on drums.
I'm not sure it was him, because there was another guy too.
Okay.
This is like 72, so I think it's they did release, there's like a show from the Fillmore in 71 that's live.
Yeah.
It's really fucking cool. And then all that stuff on Untitled, which I love. I mean, the Birds, man, that's my, Birds, yeah, they're probably my favorite band.
Oh, right on. I can hear it in the music. I can hear it in your music.
Well, yeah.
With the jangly,
I mean, it's
guitars.
Funny. When Crosby and McGinn saw the Beatles, they went to the music store and they got the exact same guitars.
Yeah.
Crosby got to get Gretsch Tennessean. And McGinn bought that Rick 12, right? Just like George had.
Yeah. Actually,
both of those guitars George had.
Yeah.
Right? And then me and David Roback, when I got to L.A., he already had it. The Rick 12, but then I went and I saw the Gretsch Tennessee, and I'm like, it's Crosby's guitar, man. I'm getting that. So I did.
Uh-huh.
And Crosby's a very underrated guitar player, I think.
Oh, sure.
He's a really good rhythm guitar player, as well as a singer.
Yeah.
And a nut, but I loved him. I loved the Cros.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So who else did we see? Yeah, I saw the Allman Brothers, mm-hmm. In Chicago, The Who, you know, everybody came through there. So
of course,
that was good.
Yeah, were you playing guitar back then in high school?
I started playing acoustic guitar. I didn't really play electric guitar till I got to college.
Okay,
when I met the guy who's in my band now, my buddy John Thoman, who's I've been playing with him since it's October. You know what, man? It might be like, to the week, it might be 50 years, because I remember we went to school in September, and I had a girlfriend pretty quick, and she had, this is so like 70s, man, this would never happen now. She had this math professor who invited me to go to another dorm to jam, and he brought a couple of joints. You know, we're smoking pot with the professor and jamming, and that's where I met my buddy John, and he was a really good guitar player then, and I mean, I was decent, but I got better, and he played electric, and I kind of learned from him. But I mean that's crazy. You wouldn't do that now. I used to go to this guy's house, and we'd, you know, smoke weed and play music. Who does that now? The guy'd be arrested if he did that.
Oh, today. Yeah, of course.
But funny, his name was Gropin. His name was Arthur Gropin, and they used to call him Gropin Arthur because he liked, again, this is, you never get away with this now, but he liked the co-eds.
Damn.
I think he might have liked some of the boys, too. He came on to me sort of once, but I was so dumb I didn't quite get it. But not that there's anything wrong with it, but it, yeah. Nothing ever happened anyway. So, yeah, that's my story there.
Yeah, how'd you end up in L.A.?
So my roommate at this is this school, Carleton College in Northfield, Minnesota, which is where Jesse James got caught.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you knew that.
The
Great Northfield, Minnesota raid. He robbed a bank there, and that's where they eventually caught him.
Okay.
When I went there at first, it was like the anniversary. They had this huge, like, it wasn't a festival. It was kind of like a parade kind of thing.
Okay.
It's a really small town, but it had two colleges. Anyway, so I had an original roommate assigned to me, and he didn't, we didn't really see, he was a nice guy. I wanted to, you know, chase girls and get
out. Yeah, yeah.
He wanted to study. So the dean of students said, well, there's this other kid over this other dorm, and he's doing the same thing, and we don't want him, you know, he doesn't like his roommate either. So that was David Roback, the guy from Massey Star, and he was my college roommate.
Yeah.
And we hit it off right away, started playing pretty soon after. He didn't really play then. He was an art guy.
Okay.
He played a little saxophone. But he learned how to play guitar, and over the next 5 years, he'd call me up loaded, and, well, come on, man, come out to L.A., let's start a band. And so I finally did, and that's how I ended up in L.A.
Okay.
And that was the first Rain Parade record, and I lived upstairs in his parents' house, so his parents are really nice to him.
Okay.
And David's not with us anymore, but his mom still is fucking kicking, man. She's like, Jesus Christ, she's got to be like 95 by now.
Wow.
Or four or five. And his brother, Steven, is my current songwriting partner and has for years.
Yeah.
I mean, David was a great he's a great artist, but there were three of us writing songs, and that doesn't work, man. You know, you can't do that. You know, ask George, right?
Yeah.
Right, or Buffalo Springfield, where they lasted, what, an album and a half, maybe. So, yeah. Anyway, that's how I ended up in L.A.
Yeah. And what part of L.A. were you in?
They lived in Brentwood, on 26th and Wilshire.
Okay.
Santa Monica.
Yeah, yeah.
Brentwood. He lived, Sue Hoffs from the Bangles. She lived down the street. They were childhood friends.
Okay.
So I met them first. And I knew Sue's brother. And her brother's roommate at Yale was Will Glenn, who was in Rain Parade. So that's,
yeah, all right.
That's her incestuous thing. And then I lived, we lived at Sue's grandfather's house. Her grandfather's a rabbi who owned a house in Santa Monica, and we rented it. And that was kind of our HQ for a while.
Okay.
Cool guy, man. He like marched with Martin Luther King, and
okay,
he was a big time civil rights 60s. Rabbi dude.
Yeah.
But those are the only people I really knew from that scene with which we are associated. Anyway,
you're supposed to say the name of the scene.
Oh, the Paisley thing. Yeah, oh, that's fine. I mean, you know, people need labels. But I do remember seeing the band, well, they were called the Colors, like the first summer I got there, and we saw them at a party in the Hollywood Hills, and it was pretty fucking obvious that they were going to be huge, man.
Yeah.
They were like, holy shit, because they played great, they sang great, they looked great. They were obviously going to... You know what else? They worked their asses off, too. So
sure.
It's funny, now they're all those people are kind of even better friends now than they used to be. I talked to Vicky and Deb.
Yep.
Fairly, well, not a lot, but, you know, I keep in contact with them.
And yeah.
All the guys from Green on Red, Steve Wynn's a good buddy.
Uh-huh. How about Chuck? Dude.
I just went to see him at, Prophet?
Yeah.
I just went to see him at Hardly Strictly just
okay.
two days ago. I mean, I don't talk to him as much because I just don't. But yeah. I mean, you know, he actually, Green on Red was a four piece uh-huh. at first. And then when I met him, and the very first show we played ever by Kismet was with them.
Okay.
In 82, we actually had a record out before we even played live.
Really?
Yeah, we had a single.
Let me just derail you for a second. How'd you guys get a record deal without playing any shows?
Oh, we just put it out ourselves.
Okay.
We put out a single, and it did pretty well. People that started playing it, you know, Rodney and those guys,
because yep.
they thought it sounded like The Birds, which it kind of does, you know, I'll admit it. That was kind of a new thing then. Punk had kind of gotten old. And then we got this gig, and we ended up playing with Jennifer Moreau from The Nuns. I don't know if you remember The Nuns.
I do. Mike Varney played bass.
Right. Exactly. That was a San Francisco punk band, and we opened for them and Green on Red. And Green on Red, those guys are, I mean, I talk to those guys all the time. They're among my best friends.
Okay.
And they were a four-piece. And I was like, you know what, man? You guys could use another guitar player. So I just kind of showed up and started playing with them.
Oh, right on.
So for about 6 months, I did that until they finally got sick of me. but they got used to the idea of another guitar player. And then they never really auditioned anybody. I just kind of insisted that I was going to do it. And then after I was done, this kid from San Francisco shows up with his Telecaster, and he's like, hey, I'm your new guitar player. And they're like, what? Then they heard him play, and they go, okay, yeah, you are. So Chucky did all right for himself, and he's doing good. So, good for him.
Yeah, exactly. Did you guys ever come up, did Rain Parade come up here and play the clubs up in the city?
Oh, sure. We played both Keystones, the one that was in Berkeley across from McDonald's. It was on...
University.
University in Shattuck or Little Shattuck or whatever. We played the other Keystone, and the time we played that Keystone, Paul Kantner was there. He used to hang out there all the time.
The one in Palo Alto?
No, the one in
on Broadway in the city.
Was it on Broadway, or it was right around there, right by the Condor? Right?
Yes, it was on Broadway.
Right. Okay, right. Like Broadway and Columbus?
Yeah.
So we did that. We played there. We played Wolfgang's before it burned down, or before somebody burned it down, or whatever.
Mysteriously. Did you guys ever play the Mad?
No. That was because we're not really a punk band. Uh-huh. And that was like a punk place. We played the I-Beam.
Yeah.
Where else? I-Beam.
Berkeley Square
a bunch of times. Yeah. And then it's funny, then the other clubs we ended up playing later, which is kind of cool. In the 2010s, that's when I ended up playing the Fillmore and the Great American Music Hall.
Slims.
And Slims. Yeah, we played Slims with the Bangles. So that was kind of dope. Did all that stuff lately. Now, obviously, the Chapel's kind of like the place now. I play there a bunch of times.
Yeah. Or the Bottom of the Hill.
Played the Bottom of the Hill. That was kind of more of a 90s thing. Uh-huh. Although I think Dream Syndicate's playing there next month. I'll probably go see them.
Okay.
I think they haven't played the Bottom of the Hill for a long time, but definitely did that. You know what? I'm not sure. I mean, I have played there, but I not Rain Parade. I think me and Steven played there, and I played there. I was in a band called the Hellenes, and I played in a band called Boat Club, and we played there. Let's see where else. You know, played some shows up here with Country Joe.
Okay.
I was in a band when the 50th anniversary of the first Country Joe album, which is kind of like the first psychedelic record from the 60s.
Yeah.
really cool stuff. And then he got a band together with a friend of mine, and ended up playing a bunch of shows with him.
Right on.
You know, Sweetwater. Freight and Salvage.
Sure.
You know, and the Chapel, Great American Music Hall. Anyway,
yeah,
he's a great dude. He's still around too, man. He's got to be, fuck, man, he's got to be 82 by now.
Oh, yeah.
That dude was in the Navy and out of the Navy before the Vietnam War started.
So wow.
That's how old he is. Great guy. Yeah. Super, super good guy.
Yeah. You told me about the Gretsch, but what were you using for amps back then?
Oh, my first amp was not vintage at all. It was a Roland JC120A.
Wow.
And the 120s, I thought, see, the weird thing about, well, I don't know if it's weird. One of the things about that 80s, the guitar sounds that we all liked then.
Yeah.
Is that we did not like what the English guys were doing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we liked what the old guys were doing. So yeah. I have a feeling, you know, things go back and forth. So all this gritty guitar shit that you know, Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page and those guys liked.
Yeah.
They did that.
Sure.
But I think towards the 80s, when you get to like Echo and the Bunnymen, who they're okay. I kind of like them. But like there's this washy, like kind of wimpy, chorused out guitar sound.
Yes.
A lot of them had. And I understand why they, you know, like the Flock of Seagulls kind of shit, you know. yeah, it's just washed out and kind of wimpy. They didn't really like the crunchy, older, cool guitars.
Yeah.
But, and the JC120, it was kind of like that, but there was this thing called the 120A that had really like fat, heavy speakers. So that had some meat to it. So that, on my first, the first Rain Parade record, I used that.
Okay.
So, it did have its own internal distortion. So it did cop, there was some beef to that. And then I had super reverbs and twins. And I mean, I don't really like the twins now. To get them to sound good, you have to.
It has to be really loud.
Really fucking loud.
Yeah.
So it's funny, you know, as the time moves on, now I play out of like a Champ and a Princeton.
Okay.
But I also have a Vibralux, so I've kind of like gone down.
Yes, as we all do.
Had a super reverb.
Yeah.
I bought this at Berkeley, at the Berkeley flea market, which finally is over, but my wife used to sell there. For $5, dude, I bought a box. $5, I bought a Vox AC100.
Wow.
No shit. And I took it up to a guy named Sal Trentino, who did Neil Young stuff. He's no longer with us, Sal, but he souped it up. I played that for a long time.
Okay.
I had a 4x12 bottom. And, you know, that thing would kill a buzzard at 100 paces.
Sure, sure, sure.
Loud as piss. But that was a great amp. But it was just, it's really loud. So the last 15, 20 years, I've been playing a Vibralux. And finally, this label that we got to, because I'm old, and you know, it's hard to carry. I still have my Vibralux, and
sure,
it sounds great. We got Princeton's, which is basically half a Vibralux. But what I noted was that with the Princeton, I didn't really need to use a compressor anymore, because you could get that more full sound with and not have it be as loud.
Yep.
Then I have a champ clone too, which I like, and I like to use all of them at the same time, you know.
Wow.
Recording. Well, recording. I don't take that out when I go, but to play like the Vibralux, which is 10s, and the champ, which is an 8, and then use something that has 12s, like either a deluxe or you know, if they're around, even a Marshall. I've never really used Marshall. It's mostly been Fender. Fender and Vox.
Yeah.
But getting that combo, the 12, the 10s, and the 8s all at once, you can get really cool sound that
way. Oh, yeah, absolutely. What did you, way back, you know, back in the day, what did you do to get all those overdrive sounds?
Oh, well, early on, I used, like I said, I just, the first Rain Parade record, I just used the internal distortion unit of the JC120A.
Okay.
And then David Roback, he had a twin, but he had one of those Morley fuzz wah pedals.
Yes, yes.
And so he played more fuzz, uh-huh. you know, or clean, and I played the Gretsch, which is kind of in between.
Yeah.
I mean, the cool thing about that Gretsch, which I adore and is like my baby,
yeah.
is those pickups are so weak that that in combination with the fake F-holes,
yeah.
the feedback really gets it, like inside of it.
Yeah.
It's a very different kind of feedback. The Fender feedback is like a dentist drill. You yeah. know? That's terrible. Or the Les Paul feedback, it drops low because it's so, I mean, I don't know the physics of it really, uh-huh. but if you play, I mean, I have a Les Paul standard also, mm-hmm. a 78. And I play that sometimes. And I also have an SG with the black silk bars. And the, but for the Gretsch, you really, you can get the feedback get caught inside of the body itself.
Sure.
Because if you use like a 335, it's almost too much. Mm-hmm. So you get a feedback note right away.
Yeah.
But I really like, plus with the whammy bar and the Gretsch, you can kind of ride it. Mm-hmm. Although I did have to, it is souped up. Those old bridges that are not tune-o-matics.
Yeah.
I mean, it just fucking never stays in tune. So I do have a tune-o-matic on there, but it's the one that's got like the little...
the rollers?
The bottom of it is rounded, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then, yeah, so that works for me, and still use the whammy bar a lot.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that is you can get the original note and pick up the kind of feedback on the inside of the guitar too at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I fucking love that, man. That's
how much of a pain in the ass was it to change strings when you guys were, playing a lot?
Oh, it's not that bad. You know, God, if we had a dime for every time we changed strings, man, we'd be wealthy, wouldn't we? It's not too bad. The old ones have, it's still got the little spikes that are underneath the whammy bar that you got to do and wrap it around, but that's okay. It's not, yeah. I don't have a problem with that. And I never played the Ricks, those are kind of more of a pain in the ass. I'm actually not that huge of a Rick fan, to be honest with you.
Sure.
I like, there's other 12 strings I like better. I like the Fender 12 a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I use 12 string.
Yeah.
And I even bought this like shitty Schecter, I think.
Sure.
Because it was, well, it's not shitty. I like it.
Yeah.
It's you know, instead of $4,000, it was $400.
Yes, so exactly.
I've used that. It sounds okay. You know, I think I love vintage gear, mm-hmm. but you know, if you know what you're doing, you can get decent sounds.
Oh,
out of
for sure.
Other stuff. The guy who really, John, who plays with me, he's got the 71 gold top special. Is it the special with the tiny humbuckers?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
special?
Oh, it's the deluxe, but yeah.
Deluxe, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The deluxe with the tiny humbuckers. That's great. Plus, he's got the that white 69 SG with the three pickups.
Sure,
gold,
sure, sure.
Ones. He's got one of those. And then he's got the granddaddy. Which he doesn't play a lot, but he does use it, which is the original. It's not even called an SG. It's called a Les Paul.
Yeah.
The Les Paul SG is the 61.
Yes.
I mean, shit, that thing, I don't know how much, that thing's worth as much as like a new car.
For sure.
100%. I mean, it's got to be like, he could probably get $30,000 for it, I'll bet you. I mean,
yep.
I mean, not that he ever would. I just want to make sure that he wills it to me if he ever goes. But he plays the special a lot. I'm sorry, the deluxe
yeah.
a lot. That's kind of it. And he's a roaring guitar player, man. And I think that's a really good combo. I mean, I like Fenders, kind of.
Uh-huh.
I have a Fender baritone.
Okay.
But and I used to, you know, everybody's got the one that got away.
Yeah.
I had a Rosewood Telly. I don't know why I sold it. I'm an idiot. I should have never sold it. I really wish I had that still.
Yeah.
But I don't like double Fenders and the kind of music we play. It's just too...
too much.
It's too sharp.
Yeah.
You know, I like Gibsons. I like Gretches.
Sure.
Stuff, stuff with G's, man. I like things that start with G.
Yeah.
At Guilds, too.
Yeah. Who do you go to get your stuff worked at on?
There's a guy named Rance.
Sure.
He in Berkeley.
Yeah.
He does my stuff now. I used to go to Larry Craig. Larry Craig, who works for Neil. I mean, I'm buddies with the guys in Crazy Horse. They're really good friends of mine, and I played with them a little bit when Neil wasn't around, and, you know, hung out with Neil a little bit, smoked pot with him. Strange man, but nice guy. I've seen his gear. Holy shit! Been down at his ranch, and I mean, it's obscene.
Yeah.
I don't think he doesn't own that ranch anymore. But I went down there a couple of times, and he's just got. I mean, dude, he must have 50 to 100 Tweed amps down there,
sure.
And they're all just like everything. He's got the old Tweed Twins, which those are dope. I like those. Yeah. Because I'm not sure, but are they like super watt? Aren't they lower wattage?
Lower wattage. Yeah.
Yeah. So they are kind of cooler.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a Blackface Twin, but I got rid of it. It's just, I like the Vibraluxes and the Princes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll talk gear all day, man.
are you guys playing actively still?
Well, we've been really busy the last few years. We've been to Europe a couple times and up and down the coast, and we've recorded a ton. And then Steve and my songwriting partner and I also went. We did a tour in England with just the two of us.
Okay.
With the Dream Syndicate. So we played out around here. So right now we're in the recording.
Yeah.
We've started, we'll probably put out an album. We got a bunch of stuff coming up. We did this live show at KCRW in LA.
Uh-huh. And
we'll probably put that out beginning of next year. And then hopefully for Record Store Day, we're going to put out our EP from 84 with an extra disc of stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, we'll have a new album. We got about 5 tunes that we've done. We still got to do some overdubs, but they're basically, I mean, at least conceptually, we know what we're going to do. We haven't actually done all this stuff. And I'm going to practice tonight. We're actually got some new songs we're writing.
Yeah, right on.
Playing a party on Sunday, but I think that's probably it for a while. Unfortunately, due to our age, we're fine, but everybody in the band has got some family health issues dealing with. Mothers in the case of two of the guys and my brother. Yeah, like I said, Mrs. Roback is still fucking around, man. She's like, she's 94, but like as my drummer, the drummer Stefan says, it's like, you know, right? There's no treatment for 94, man. It's just kind of like, you know.
Are you guys all based in the Bay Area?
Yeah, that's kind of why we... the principal reason why we got going again, because I came up here and then I in 85, right, and then my wife went to Berkeley, and then I ended up going to Berkeley too and finishing school there, and then got my job. And then Stephen, who also went to Berkeley, he moved back here about 20 years ago, a little less than that maybe.
Okay.
And then once he was up here and I was up here, then it was, you know, then
it was game on.
Yeah, it was kind of game on. And John Thoman, who he's been in Rain Parade since 1984 and has done all the stuff that we've done. And he was even in a band with me and David Roback when we were in college together.
Yeah.
I mean, not much of one. It was just like a punk cover band. But still, you know, just getting our feet wet.
Yeah.
He's up here too.
Is the Bay Area kind of where your biggest following is, or is it in Europe?
It's probably England. I mean, they're evenly distributed throughout the world. I mean, I think our business model is, you know, we're never going to get $10 out of 50,000 people. But we might get $100 out of 5,000 people.
Yeah.
You know? That's kind of where we're that's kind of where we're at. We're
getting $10 out of 5,000 people is pretty good.
That's too. We get like, I don't know, 25,000, 30,000 Spotify listeners.
Wow.
which isn't a lot, but it's
that's
not
decent
either.
Yeah.
It's I looked it up. We're like in the top 5%. There's like fucking 20 million bands on there.
Oh yeah.
And you know, half of it's, you know, made up AI bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened to bands, man. It just doesn't seem like you look, where did they go? It's like, what, 30 years ago, there were bands everywhere and sure. On the top, you know, the top Billboard top 200. But now, I mean, I don't look that much, but I mean, not there's anything, I don't have anything against Taylor Swift. I actually even kind of like some of it.
Yeah.
Or Dua Lipa, or I don't know how much further I can go with this, you know, like that stuff.
Sure.
But they're all like individual artists, and a lot of them are manufactured. I don't know where what fucking bands are out there? I don't even know. You know, I'd be hard pressed to think of a new band. You know, I'll come up with something like The Hives, but they've been around forever. I mean,
yeah,
I like The Hives a lot, and they're European. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on, man.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did you guys ever, were you guys ever on MTV? Did Enigma ever pay the money for a video?
Yeah, there is a Rain Parade video, and they did play it some, and it's out there.
Yeah.
But that's from 84, I think.
Yeah. Did it spark, did it increase the numbers at your shows and stuff?
Fuck if I know, dude. I don't know. I mean, we were lucky to have, like in the early 80s, there was, it wasn't just, there's this Paisley thing, but that was kind of going on everywhere. There was, there were bands in New York, like the Feelies and like Certain General. And then there was the,
Atlanta or Savannah.
Atlanta. Yeah. The REM and Love Tractor and those guys, and B-52s, obviously, who I worship. They're earlier, obviously, but, the Mitch Easter stuff and Winston-Salem, and then there were bands, and this is pre-Seattle, but there were still like the Wipers and stuff. But anyway, there was a network. There were independent labels. There were college radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's, you know, and all it really took was one kid in town to talk one club into having bands. So like whether you're the Longhorn in Minneapolis and yeah, like we were doing the Replacements, we used to play with actually when I was up there pre-Rain Parade. Mm-hmm. or if you know, if you're in Jackson, Mississippi, then you know, I don't know if you know this guy, it's Tim Lee from the Windbreakers.
I don't know him.
He's a good buddy too. He slept on his couch, and you know, he had a club that people played at, or if it was Rochester, New York, you know, where they had like the Chesterfield Kings and Pat Thomas was there, and he'd play Scorgies, or you know, whether it's Kent, Ohio, or you know, you name it, at any of those small towns, they had a club, and there was somebody who was connected to a national booking agent, and you could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, guess you. I heard someone say, and I forget who this was, but you know, we could afford to starve then.
Yeah,
and you can't now. You can't even afford to starve. I don't know how kids would do it now. So it's not like we ever made a ton of money, because we didn't, but we were able to do it, and that was fun. Now it's kind of impossible. So if we're gonna go play, then we'll probably go back to Europe, but we're gonna lose money. I don't care now.
I mean,
that's why I got a job and had a career and got a pension and all that stuff.
If people want to find you, where do they go?
Label 51 Records is where recordings.
Okay.
And we're on Bandcamp too, but specifically Label 51. My personal email is 090records.com. And if you want anything, you can write me at 090records.gmail.
At gmail.
090records@gmail.com.
Very good.
That is 090records@gmail.com.
Right on. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, Matt. I appreciate your time.
Well, you have no idea how cool this is. I mean, this is like a bucket list to talk to you guys, man. I really appreciate it. Stay tuned. We've got, you know, new stuff. We got old stuff.
Yeah.
still out there doing it. Yeah. So I really appreciate it, James. Yeah.
Well, I spent the good part of yesterday and today listening to your music, and I love it.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah. Well, that's good. I hope you enjoy it, and it means the world to us.
I do. Very much so.
Support us. So thank you, Finnish Guitar, man.
Yeah.
So cool. That's like, I will definitely brag about this.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'll see you in the streets in Oakland.
All righty. Next year, we'll probably play somewhere around here. So,
right on. Very good.
Keep in touch, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. See you later, Matt.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.